Hi, John Talberth. Welcome to KBOO and our Old Mole Variety Hour.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Reading John Talberth's biography, it's pretty clear that his life mission is saving forest ecosystems. That would make a huge contribution to preventing global heating, the cataclysm around the corner. He's an economist. He founded the Center for Sustainable Economy. He spent years mapping the remaining extent of ancient forests in the Pacific Northwest and Southwest, and also participated in over 1,000 administrative and legal challenges to logging projects that threaten to unravel these native ecosystems. He's also a senior researcher at Oregon Sustainable Energy and Economy Network, SEEN, where he worked on writing several bills, including the Oregon Forest Carbon Incentive Act, save both the forests and the water supplies in the state. Their bills are both being considered by the legislature. He'll be testifying in Salem Tuesday, March 26th. That's, in fact, tomorrow. And, of course, we'd love to see all of you and your friends and family at the hearing supporting the bill and perhaps testifying. So, John Talberth, tell us about the Oregon Forest Carbon Incentives Act. What does it do? Why is it so important?
As you may know, if managed sustainably, forests in the Pacific Northwest can capture and store more carbon per acre than almost any other terrestrial ecosystem on Earth. And that's surprising to a lot of people. People think of the tropical forests as the big carbon sink on the planet. But in terms of carbon density, as it's called, carbon per acre, the Northwest forests are actually much better at carbon sink function. But tragically, these lands are being mowed down and destroyed by these industrial forest practices that we all see on the hillsides every time we take a trip to the coast or somewhere. You know, these industrial forest practices include widespread clear-cutting, dense logging roads, spraying of chemicals, and dumping of fertilizers on the land. And so these tree plantations are a disaster when it comes to climate and climate change. So they're the number one source of carbon emissions in the state, and they're the number one threat to the resiliency of our rural areas because these landscapes that are dominated by industrial tree plantations are at much greater risk of fire, flood, insects and disease, toxic algae blooms, landslides.
And ruination of their water as well from the pesticides and all the stuff they do.
Absolutely. So we've got two bills, one dealing with the water issue, one dealing with forest carbon. So the Forest Carbon Incentives Act would, so instead of encouraging climate smart alternatives to these forest practices, our system, our tax code, actually subsidizes conventional logging practices to the tune of $300 million or more per year, taxpayer money that could otherwise go to schools and infrastructure and public services and environmental protection. Those tax breaks are going to fuel industrial forest practices and climate change. So the bill is pretty simple. It would rescind those tax breaks and make receipt of tax breaks contingent on good practices on the land. So if your land is covered by clear cuts and logging roads and timber plantations, you don't get the tax break. If your land is covered by what's called natural and semi-natural forests, what we need there to actually capture and store carbon, then you get the tax break. That's the essence of this bill. That's going to be heard on Tuesday in the legislature. So that's bill number one. Bill number two is called the Safe Waters Act of 2019. We already had a hearing on it. That bill would prohibit clear cutting, building of new logging roads, pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers being dumped in our drinking water supplies. And I think Oregonians, most of them, would be surprised to know that our drinking water supplies are not protected, except, you know, for Bull Run and places like that, a couple of places like that. Most drinking water supplies in our state are subject to these horrific industrial forest practices. And as a result, we have less water and dirtier water than we otherwise would.
Yeah, it's really shocking, isn't it? The Green State, the extent to which the timber industry controls our political officials. We'll get to that at the end, how to defeat them. Let's go back a little bit to why clear cutting and all of these sort of chemical processes and their speeding up of the growth of monocultures. How does that contribute to global warming? You discussed why it's destroying the waters. Why does it contribute to global warming? Why are forests now, these industrial forests, have maybe a third of the amount of carbon density, I read that, as a living, real forest?
Yeah, no, exactly. You're exactly right. So the way to understand how this industrial forest model is creating such enormous emissions, is to compare that model with what our natural endowment was. We call it nature's baseline. What is the carbon cycle of a natural forest? And the carbon cycle of a natural forest is one where it takes in a lot more carbon than is given off by, say, decay of wood on the forest floor or forest fires. You know, those are, you know, minor emissions compared to a lot of sequestration and storage. So, so if you take the ratio of how much comes in to the land taken out of the atmosphere and how much goes out, a natural forest, the ratio is somewhere around 5 to 7 to 1, meaning, in other words, we take in, our natural forest takes in about 7 tons of carbon per acre for every one it gives off. You switch to the industrial forest model, and it's just like growing corn or something. Every bit of carbon that's taken in is released in a very short time period. You don't get carbon accumulating on the land any longer. It's just mostly leached out into the atmosphere. And so this is a drastic difference between an ecosystem that captures and stores a lot of carbon and accumulates it over time to one where it's accumulating no carbon over time. And so that's the alarming fact. But that's only one aspect of the emissions. There's other emissions associated with the herbicides and the fertilizers that all embody carbon, the soil disturbance, the fact that when you have short rotation clear cutting, half the landscape is in open clear cut condition at any one time, and it's not sequestering carbon any longer. And then, of course, the wood products themselves, carbon doesn't stay locked up in paper and packaging and wood products. It's actually, as those products decay, most of the carbon is released over for paper and packaging a very short period of time. For structural lumber, it's still released. Most of it is gone at the end of a 100-year time frame. So this is a very big problem. And our study, which was corroborated by OSU, found that the timber industry is, in fact, the number one source of greenhouse gas emissions in the state. It's probably also the number one source of emissions in other states that have a big timber industry, like Georgia and, you know, places in the southeast and maybe in the upper northern Minnesota. So we're actually getting on top of those numbers right now to figure out what this looks like nationally.
This is KBLU Radio 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm talking to John Talberth, who has an advanced degree in economics, but is devoting his life, in fact, to studying both the economics and the biology and the climate impacts and water impacts of destroying our forests, which are huge, particularly in Green Oregon, and very little is being done about it. John, you discussed the fact we're subsidizing that. It's not merely that this is somehow some kind of free market atrocity. We are actually subsidizing this industry for destroying the natural ecosystems that bring us life.
Absolutely. So one of the, a lot of folks have read the Oregonian series, Polluted by Money, which shows that Oregon is the number one state when it comes to the influence of the timber industry on local politics. The timber industry gives more money per candidate in Oregon than any other place in the country. And it shows. It shows in the form of archaic forest practices laws that don't even protect most of our streams with any kind of buffer, that don't distinguish between real forests and plantations, that have very little limits on the ability to protect the drinking watershed from being entirely clear-cut from top to bottom in a very short period of time. So it shows in very weak forest practices laws, but it also shows up in the form of all the tax breaks and subsidies this industry has been able to leverage at taxpayers' expense. And as I noted earlier, the amount comes to anywhere between $300 and $400 million a year that's coming out of county budgets that they would otherwise have for schools and infrastructures and public services and environmental protection. So this is kind of an outrageous situation. I mean, the harm is bad enough as it is, but we're actually subsidizing it and making these practices more prevalent and more damaging by having our taxpayer dollars funding them. So this is what has got to change, and this is our first shot at doing that, is HB 2659, which will be heard next week.
How does it work in Salem? You've pointed out that the timber industry is quite powerful. I guess that it's not quite powerful. Well, it might be even in Portland because of the money. But in rural Oregon, the timber industry still has this sort of, they present themselves at least, and people believe it, that they're sort of the heart of the economy of rural Oregon. And if you limit them, that the economies of these areas are collapsed. What's the real story about rural Oregon? And can that timber industry, their hold over the voters and the people of rural Oregon be reduced?
Well, it's a tough nut to crack because, you know, the counties and the communities where these large mills are located, they're held hostage by the timber industry because, I mean, if you work at a mill or you're associated with the timber industry at all, you get notices in your paycheck of what to vote for and what not to vote for. I mean, it's that intense, you know, to be in these areas. The influence is amazing. And, of course, if the timber industry at all feels a threat in these areas, it's going to tell the county commissioner as well, this is going to destroy your tax base. We're going to have to lay off thousands of people. We're going to, you know, leave the economy devastated. We're not going to be able to make our contributions to whatever contributions they make to public libraries or whatever. So there's a huge threat value for having an extractive industry dominate a local economy. And in some parts of rural Oregon, not all, this is still the case. And, you know, in international sustainable development circles, they call this the resource curse. If your economy is too overly dependent on the extractive industry, they are able to then capture and control local politics, shut out any kind of economic diversification, gut the tax code to get subsidies and tax breaks. And so all these things are happening in Oregon. It's, you know, this resource curse phenomenon is not just applicable to developing countries. It's right here in our own backyard.
Yeah, it's not just Nigeria and Saudi Arabia or Saudi Arabia's vessels. It's also Oregon. And they're, of course, destroying the land. It's just not sustainable. Could there be a sustainable forestry? That seems to me an important question. We're saying what they shouldn't be doing. What could they be doing? What could, in fact, an honest logging company, if there is such a thing, I think you think there is, it's possible to have a sustainable forestry. Tell us what the practices would be.
Well, that's the most aggravating aspect of this issue, is that we've known for decades, I mean, there have been some, you know, people have devoted their lives to developing the alternative forestry model, and what's called ecological forestry by some of the scientists. We like to call it climate smart forestry. And in essence, this kind of forestry is a way to extract timber from the land, but leave a healthy forest behind. You know, what a concept, right? It's pretty simple. There's various techniques. They call them like variable retention and patch cutting and individual tree selection. And this is what's actually being practiced by a group of small-scale sustainable foresters, and they need help. They're the ones that need the tax breaks and the subsidies. They're the ones that need the incentive payments. If we could expand their model to the rest of the landscape, Oregon would be a very green state, and we would be able to play a major role in fighting global warming and mitigating climate change. And so this is the alternative model that the Forest Carbon Incentives Act would help scale up.
This is KBOO Radio, Bill Resnick for the Old Mole, talking to John Talberth. We've been talking about forestry, saving the forests, that in fact there are technologies, well, there's forest practices that are actually equivalent to regenerative agriculture. We could grow all the food we need in sustainable ways. We could have great forests and in fact do logging and have the benefits of both our land and forests without destroying them. That means, of course, breaking the grip on the state and on our laws of both the timber industry and the agribusiness industries. There are people doing that and trying to do that. John Talberth is doing that in Oregon. John, tell us about the hearing, what's going to happen, the mechanics of it, and what you see as the future. This is not the last gasp of the effort. This is the beginning of the effort.
Well, I was really encouraged by, you know, the blue wave that rode into Congress, and there was a reflection of that in our state houses. Women-led, younger candidates who kind of get it, that we need complete fundamental transition away from corporate rule and corporate financing of our elections. And so there's a lot of excitement in the legislature for cracking this nut open and actually taking a look at all the corporate tax breaks that are out there. Are these tax breaks helping us or hurting us? And so this bill is one way to actually examine some of the tax breaks that are going to industrial forest practices and asking the question, is there a better use of these tax dollars? Maybe it's better, the better use is for schools and social services, or maybe some of the better use of these tax breaks is to encourage the small-scale sustainable foresters. So we think it's an exciting conversation. Unfortunately, this bill is stuck in a committee that is known for pro-timber legislation and for kind of squashing anything that looks at real reform. But we're hoping that we'll get a good hearing, we'll get the ball rolling, and hopefully by next session, when the session is really focused on public finances, this bill will kind of rise to the top as a priority piece of legislation to pass.
John Talberth, thanks a lot for talking to us. It was really enlightening and sort of inspiring. There really are possibilities for changing things. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work, and people can hear more of John this coming Tuesday. What time will that hearing be held in Salem?
Well, unfortunately, it's scheduled for 8 in the morning, so get up early.
John Talberth, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be on the show.
Right. So long.
So my brains are filled with fear.
This ain't heaven,
so I feel the heat as night comes near.
This ain't heaven,
O-A-C-T-I-O-N.
This ain't
please don't stop if you're really my friend.
This ain't heaven, no.
I gotta put it into action.
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 Doing it A to Z until I feel so free.
Action.
I don't care if you refuse to see.
I gotta put it into
action.
Action.
Consider this a sign of emergency.
Action.
Who's gonna do it if I don't do it? I'm tired of being scared. I'm so tired of being scared. Scared for my children. I'm scared for our children. I'm tired of being scared for the mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters.
A-C-T-I-N-G.
Gotta share the truth that's inside of me.
This is an emergency.
Of the highest and the fullest and the final decree.
I'm still trying to be free.
Don't let this separate you and me. Oh, please.
Who's gonna do it if I don't do it?
Action.
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 Doing it A to Z until I feel so free.